So our text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. These words, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God." So our text, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to the things that we believe, we can say that there are things that are easy for us to believe, things that we want to believe, and things that we should not believe, but we do. Things that are easy to believe, things that we want to believe, and things that we should not believe, but we do. Those things that are easy to believe? Well, that massive storm system heading our way is going to dump a whole lot of rain upon us. That if we stay out in the sun too long, we're going to get sunburned. That if we leave raw chicken out on the counter for too long, we'll get sick after we cook and eat it. Such things, they're easy to believe. Of course, there are those things that we want to believe, things that we want to believe. Things such as if we eat a certain fruit, all of our medical challenges will disappear. That if we buy a certain language program for our phone, we can learn Russian in less than 6 weeks. That if we buy a new fancy countertop appliance from the home shopping network, that all of our life will become one of ease and simplicity. Such things we want to believe. Of course, there are things that we should not believe, but we do. Things like we can solve all of our financial woes by just one night at a casino. That the sound we hear coming from the engine of our car, it's not that important. That what we eat has no relationship whatsoever to our health. Such things we should not believe, but we do. Now, to this list of things that are easy to believe, things that we want to believe, things that we should not believe, but we do, there are also things that we do not want to believe. There are things we do not want to believe. Things like that there are so many aspects of our lives that are simply beyond our control. Or that as we age, our eyesight may fail, our hearing, even our minds. That we'll die. And in our dying, eventually, the fact that we ever existed on the face of this earth will be forgotten. So Ecclesiastes. And so the thought every time I would have when we would exit our little church there in Germany and looking over a low wall there into an unkept space about the size of a backyard here in Spring Lake Park. Yes, looking into that little yard, I'd see these large tombstones, those old thin ones. They'd be about 3 feet tall and about 4 inches thick, and they'd be covered with Latin, and they would be lined up on tree trunks like books stacked against a wall. The names of the people on them long forgotten by life, by history. So our future, something we don't want to believe. So again, there are the things that are easy to believe, things that we want to believe, things that we should not believe, but we do, and things that we don't want to believe. I mean, we could go on here. But obviously, so much of our lives are spent believing one thing or another, trying to believe or not to believe, acting on a belief or living in denial of it. Elijah, for example, in our Old Testament text, really believed that he was the last person on the face of this earth who believed in and was faithful to our Lord, the God of hosts. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away, is what Elijah said. Wasn't true, of course. There were 7,000 others that had remained faithful, 7,000 others who remained faithful to God, 7,000 who had not worshiped the Baals, bowing before them and kissing them. So what Elijah believed to be true was not. Was Peter's world in our gospel reading shattered, his belief system, as we say today, when after fishing all night and catching nothing, a word from that same Lord, the God of hosts, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, resulted in a great catch of fish? Obviously, Peter knew nothing about fishing, so it may have seemed. Often, when reading this account, I think of my cousin Chris. Chris, who fishing in a city park in high school with her boyfriend, tagging along with him to hang out with him, being handed a simple spinner on a short rod, brought in a 36-inch northern in a city park in Illinois without a license on a day that the game warden was there. Who was so impressed by the size of the fish, he let her keep it. And my uncle had it stuffed and mounted. It was only the second time she'd ever cast a line in the water. How many guys who have throughout their lives spent thousands of dollars on rods and reels and lures and baits and boats and gear would thrill to have caught such a fish? What do they think when they hear that story? And when they hear that pretty much the same thing happened about 4 years later when she brought in a 40-inch muskie. Peter, as witnessing what happened at the word of Jesus, realized he was nothing. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord," is what he said to Jesus. What Peter believed he was, we could speculate, and what he suddenly realized he actually was became obviously clear. When coming face to face with the Lord, the God of hosts, the one who made the Sea of Galilee and all the fish within it. So the challenge of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus, his crucifixion for us and for our salvation. Yes, 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 we hear about it all the time. The cross, the cross, the cross. But let's be honest, it could be hard to believe. That is, that so much occurs on that cross. And yes, we want to believe in its importance, its definitive nature for us. But there are so many other things that are more appealing for us to believe, even when it comes to Jesus. We're challenged, challenged when we see burgeoning church buildings where the prosperity gospel is preached, or historic, majestic buildings where the social gospel is preached. Or even barn-like cowboy churches where some sort of comfortable gospel is being preached. All of which are so appealing. All of which would pull us away from the cross of Christ to the miracles of Christ, for example, or the ministries of Christ, or the hominess of Christ. Abandoning the cross of Christ as folly, as foolishness of that which just is not to be understood. And yet the Christian faith, the gospel of Jesus, the epicenter of it all, is that of the cross of Christ. If anyone wants to be my disciple, our Savior taught in Matthew 16, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Our cross, the cross of our Savior Jesus, into whom we are baptized, lived out within us. That's what our cross is. We were buried with him through baptism into death, we read in Romans 6, and it's in the Lord's Supper that when we eat the bread and drink this cup, that we do nothing other than proclaim the Lord's death, the cross, the blood of the New Testament poured out for us until Christ returns. Yes, the following of Christ, believing in Christ, the cross of Christ, his crucifixion, is ultimately our crucifixion, our death. The death of the old Adam, the death of the things that are easy to believe, the death of the things we want to believe, the death of the things we should not believe, and even the things that we do not want to believe. In other words, the cross of Christ, the cross that we take up in faith, is the death of our reason. our reason that tells us continually, believe this, believe that, don't believe this, don't believe that. And in its place, within us, a new reason, a new mind, the mind of Christ emerges. The new life, the newness of life revealed to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But now only a partial reality for us in the here and now, that resurrection. Why? Well, we're not there yet. We're not in the resurrection. For Christ hasn't returned visibly to take us to be with him in heaven. So we are in the here and the now, the Holy Spirit being given to us as a pledge and token of our future resurrected life. But the definition of our life in the here and now is none other than the cross of Christ into which we are baptized and remain. The cross of Christ, which we proclaim every time the Lord's Supper is celebrated. The cross of Christ, which is our daily confrontation with ourselves. What is easy to believe, what we want to believe, what we should not believe, but we do, and what we don't want to believe. Hear the forgiveness of sin daily. That is, day in, day out, through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus. That is the reality of our awareness of sin, but also that we are constantly assured by the Spirit that such sins are not counted against us by God. That's what he does as the comforter. Simply hard to believe. It's beyond our reason, beyond our strength, as it says in the Catechism, and yet it occurs. It happens. It's a reality. Now, here it's interesting, isn't it, how the Lord of heaven and earth responds to Elijah in the cave. God does not react. God does not respond to what Elijah says with words like, "Oh, that's horrible, Elijah. I'm so sorry that happened to you. That's just terrible. Let's sit and talk about it for a while." It's not what God does. But God sets Elijah on his way with the things that Elijah should do. The same for Christ with Peter at the great catch of fish. To Peter, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." Now, the uber-sensitive among us might respond with horror, crying out, "God is just gaslighting. He's gaslighting Elijah, and he's gaslighting Peter, not taking their concerns, the way they see their situations, their lives, their troubles and problems seriously, and treating them as if their grasp of reality was not true." Yes, that's exactly what God is doing. It's exactly what our Savior Jesus is doing. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit is counseling when he would convince us that our lives are not the constructs of what the reason of our old Adam believes or disbelieves. But our lives are grounded in and take their definition from in our daily live through our baptisms to the cross in the cross of Christ, which is our life, our new life, begun but not fully realized, yet perpetually defined by two pieces of wood, nailed together, our Savior upon them, outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. So, are you this morning looking for a new definition of your life? Are you looking for a new way to live? A way that is not of this world, a way that demonstrates that you are something other. Something not defined by society or social media or sports fanaticism. If so, then embrace your cross. Your life, your new life in Christ, into which you're baptized and perpetually that which you proclaim when you participate in the Lord's Supper. Here, the matter's not one of religious ritual or rubrics or right order, but of the reality of life itself, real life, true life, our life in Christ in the here and now. And of course, the world, driven by the reasoning power of the old Adam, the world will see in the cross of Christ and our baptism into it and our proclamation of it nothing but foolishness. Yes, make into Jesus a king. Make him a wise man, a social revolutionary, an all-around good guy, but don't make him the God that dies. The God who dies and rises again from the dead. The God who speaks not in great and strong winds and earthquakes and fire, but in still small voices. The God who drives a man to repentance by a miraculous catch of fish. I mean, what's up with that? That doesn't make any sense at all. That's right, it doesn't. So the Holy Spirit is sent to us to believe in Jesus as our light and our life, to believe in Jesus as the one whom we follow daily with our thoughts and words and actions, to believe in Jesus as the one in whom all belief is justified. And that being so, what are our beliefs so often but simply odd and silly constructs of our sin-infested reason that would somehow convince us that the world is one way or another? Well, logically, if that were true, I guess we'd have at least a 1 in 8 billion chance that we're right. Think about it. That is what we do when we rely on our reason. It's what we do when we rely on our reason to define reality for us. Logically, our chances of being right, perhaps 1 in 8 billion. That is as right as every other person on the face of this earth with their own sin-tainted reason as well. So the Holy Spirit, setting us straight, setting us right, continually gaslighting us with the Word of God, lovingly and wondrously, so that daily we can live and proclaim the word of the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.